Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, and adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, it was at 5 or 6 I was saved, and I was reading that chapter in the family reading at home. And then the Lord showed me my sinful heart and that I had needed to be saved. So I asked the Lord to save me and have mercy on me, and I know I was saved because I knew the Lord's presence. I received a desire to do what was right, to obey the Lord, to follow the Lord. So we'll read now Luke 15, verses 11. And he said, that's our Lord, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I read this portion because I believe it's a description of my life as I got older. As I grew up, I left off the communion with God. I stopped reading, I stopped praying, I stopped enjoying church and family worship. And as a result of that then, my heart was cold and didn't know the Lord as I should. And as I grew on up then, there was influences that led me astray, and the biggest of them was my own heart. And the wickedness and the lust of my heart. The devil, he doesn't want that interested in those who aren't walking with God. Your heart is deceitful enough to draw you away without the devil doing anything. And so, I hardened my heart, and I broke away from God's laws, parents. And I wanted to try the things of this world. But you know, God, in his wisdom and mercy, always had somebody there just prodding and poking. Christian and work. Always reminded me that I needed to be right with God. I needed to be ready to meet him. Faithful parents and people in the church never stopped praying. Never. And exhorting me to get out to church. Even whenever you were away in the ends of iniquity, far from the things that are good, the things came around to talk about the death, to the things of the church, to the things of God. Hebrews 11 and 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for seasons. Talking about Moses there. the pleasures of sin, they are only for a season, and there's not much pleasure with them. And about a year ago, I suppose, maybe a bit longer, I started to come to my senses as the prodigal son did. I realised something was missing, something wasn't right. And it was God, of course, was making me think of this and troubling me. But hardened my heart again and tried to sort myself out. Stop running about, stop drinking, stop smoking. Attended church more often. I thought, it would be alright. But God, he kept troubling me, kept telling me that things weren't right. And he guided me back. He was guiding me back to the fold. It was on a Thursday during the day that God made me realise that I just was nothing of myself. There was nothing I could do by myself. And I was going nowhere. And I turned to God. Well, God turned me to himself. With a broken heart and a realisation of my sin. And a need of God to be in my life at all times. And now I strive and pray for that closer walk with God. As should we all. Peter said in chapter 2 and verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I just wanted to leave a chapter with you that I feel is applicable to us all. 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We need to make sure we watch, and don't get caught up with the foolishness of other young people and so on. To keep a close walk with God. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. For let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, we can't be letting silly arguments get between us. If we were concentrated on our own lives and made sure our own walk was right with God, we wouldn't be worried too much about other people. We should be encouraging each other to walk closer to God. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and do esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. I need to pray, especially in this day and age. We need to be in constant communion with God. Not just say our prayers at night and in the morning. We need to be ever praying and seeking the Lord. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophecy. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. We need to prove all things to see worship places that are springing up that everyone's flocking to. We need to check them out to put the word of God. We need to make sure everything that we do is right. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All of us have a testimony. The world watches closely. We're always watching and see, and will they trip up? Then, whenever the Christian does trip up, they say, oh, look, that, I do better than that. And wouldn't it be awful if through our life that we were holding sinners back from God? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, and also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord, that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The Lord bless you, stumbling words.
Well, thank you for the word of testimony, Ivan. And may the Lord bless it to all of our hearts, and give us some consciousness of just what mercy and grace lies behind such words. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvellous in our eyes. Thank you for letting me into the young people's meeting, since I left that particular age group a long, long time ago. However, it's nice to be here. Now, Just want to say a few words about a man who appears in the Bible and then vanishes away. Doesn't stay too long, but he's a man who has left an impression upon this world that it would be impossible tonight to measure. There are many in heaven because of this man, and the few words that he uttered being recorded in the scriptures and read and preached upon have been the means of winning many, many thousands, I would say tens of thousands, to the Lord over the 2,000 years or so since these words were spoken. We're turning to Mark, and we're looking at the chapter 10. I'm going to read just a few verses together with you. Start with the verse 46, please. And they came to Jericho. Listen to me. Those of you at school will know all too well the pattern of my preaching. I start on a subject and then something catches my eye and off I go down the byway. But as I read that, and they came to Jericho, I just want to emphasize, don't ever overlook bits of information God sets before you. There's a reason. What does it matter where it was? God tells you with Jericho, there's a reason for it. Well, those of you who are in any way familiar with the Bible know that Jericho was the city cursed back in the days of Joshua. Remember when the walls came down? Judgment of God fell on that city. And God pronounced it a curse against it. And they said that the man who built it again would be cursed. And so here's this city of Jericho that had rested under the curse of God. And that's where our story begins. That's where our story begins. We're going to look at that which began in the place of God's curse, God's judgment. So let's read a little bit more. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him. That's an old English word. Many commanded him. Many said to him very sternly that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I've got to say, commonly it was understood that Jesus was the son of Joseph. That was the head of the house from which the Saviour had come, as people commonly understood it. Of course, he wasn't the son of Joseph. He was miraculously born by the wonderful workings of the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary. But here's a man who doesn't say, Jesus, thou son of Joseph, but rather he says, Jesus, thou son of David. Now, why did he call the Lord Jesus then? Because, you see, he recognized who the Lord Jesus was. He was the Messiah. The prophets had promised that of the line of David there would come a Redeemer. And this blind man had, by the mercy of God, somehow or other, come into possession of a knowledge of who Jesus was. He had heard people talk about him, heard the works that he had done. A blind man sitting by the wayside, he just drank in every bit of news that he could. There was nothing else for him to do in his life. So he heard about what reports there were of the doings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And blind Bartimaeus came to believe this man Jesus is the Messiah. Only the Messiah could do what this man is doing and speak the words this man is speaking. And consequently, when he's sitting there on this particular day and he hears the crowd going by, can't you see him? What's going on? What's all the fuss about? Where is it all going? So they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's going down the road. Jesus of Nazareth? And he began to shout at the very top of his voice for mercy. He must have realized, oh, I never dreamt he would pass me. And therefore, when somebody came and told him, shh, what are you saying, shush? And he would lift up his voice and shout all the louder. I'm not going to miss this chance. Likely I'll never have another chance of speaking with Jesus of Nazareth. So he shouted all the louder. And it's verse 49, Jesus stood still. Isn't that lovely? The Lord heard that man. I'm sure there was a lot of noise going on that day, but the Lord heard that man and stopped. and commanded him to be called. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. What a mercy it is to be brought to Christ. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. Doubtless the man, Bartimaeus, was somewhat distressed. Distressed by the fact he was in the near presence of the one he believed was the Messiah, and they might pass on by, and they might miss the opportunity. So he would have been distressed. I'm sure he was distressed. But they said, Be of good comfort. He's calling for you. That's the good news of the gospel. You know, you can say to the distressed soul, you can say to the poor sinner, you can say to the burdened one, Be of good comfort. He calleth for thee. The voice of God is sounded out across the nations. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Be of good comfort. He calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man saith unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, I believe Bartimaeus was saved at this moment. He was already saved. He was a believer that Jesus was the Messiah. That's why he didn't say, Lord, save me. Because he was saved. But instead, in faith, he said, Lord, give me my sight, which was a mighty prayer. Someone blind does not receive their sight except by a miracle. And he was asking for a great miracle, that I may receive my sight, that I might be given the gift of my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Didn't I tell you he already believed? He had faith. He had faith. Faith doesn't stop with you getting saved. Indeed, that's only the beginning. You have to go on living by faith from that day forward, asking God for all of your needs. And the Savior says, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. A few more words. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, and we'll end with this city. Having started with Jericho, we'll end with Jerusalem. And you know, that's the beginning and the end of the story of this man, Bartimaeus. He was found in Jericho, and the last we see of him, he's journeying to Jerusalem. That's what it is to be a Christian, you know. It is to be lifted by God out of the place of the curse and set on the way to heaven. Each one of you here tonight, I do believe you're on the way to heaven. You've left, by God's grace, Jericho, and you're on the way to heaven. Now, I had a whole lot of things to say of this man. I'll say a few of them. Just a few of them. I marvel, you know, that he provides us with such a wonderful example. He comes in to the story of the Bible. He's there for only a brief moment or two, and then he's gone. We don't know a thing about him other than his name, that he believed in the Lord Jesus. He was healed from his blindness, and he began to follow the Lord Jesus. That's all we know about him. But I tell you, the brief little story of blind Bartimaeus has been the means of pointing tens of thousands to Christ. The first thing I want to just say to you is that now that he has been blessed by the Lord, he has met the Lord. As I say, I believe that he actually believed that Jesus was the Christ. Even though he had never met him, but he had heard enough. And each one of you here tonight, you're saved in the same fashion. You've never met the Lord the way Bartimaeus met the Lord that day on the road. But you have heard about him in the scriptures, and you have believed on him. You have met him, as we say, by faith. You have viewed him by faith. You have looked at the revelation the scripture gives us of the Lord Jesus, and you have said, I believe he is the Christ, and I'm trusting him for salvation. When he meets the Lord, his life has changed. His life has changed. You know, in verse 46, always read, please, taking in, soaking up what is in each little phrase. Look at what it says. And they came to Jericho,
And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat. That's the first we see of him, sitting. Sitting in blindness. Sitting in poverty. A blind man was the poorest being on the face of the earth. He's out there sitting because he's a beggar and he's begging. But when he meets the Lord, his sitting ends. His sitting ends. Because the last words of the chapter in the verse 52 is, he followed Jesus in the way. For a long time he had sat in blindness and darkness. It's very likely that he sat in darkness all his days. I would believe it likely that he was born blind. Never seen anything of God's creation or of his family. Or of himself reflected in a looking glass. It sat in darkness. And that's where each one of you were before God in mercy dealt with you. You were sitting in darkness, spiritually speaking. Some of you, brought up in Christian homes, before you were saved, you were sitting in darkness. You were sitting in the church pew in darkness. You were sitting in the Sunday school in darkness. You were sitting in the Christian school in darkness. Because that's what we all are in our natural state. We are in a state of darkness. We find the prophet Isaiah quoted in Luke chapter 4. These are the words the Lord Jesus quoted as he began his public ministry. As it were, his first public sermon. He chose a text from Isaiah. You can read it in Luke chapter 4, the verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. That recovering of sight to the blind is a spiritual deliverance from spiritual blindness. That's what Christ came to do. And if you're saved, that's what happened to you. That's what happened to you. Why did you suddenly begin to take an interest in spiritual things? Why did you suddenly find your attention centered upon what was being said from the Bible? Because your eyes have been opened. That was God's doing. That was God's doing. Well, Bartimaeus is no longer going to be sitting in darkness. He had been sitting in dirt, might I add. A blind man, in the circumstances in which Bartimaeus found himself, could do nothing but get dirty. You're sitting at the table and eating and a little crumb drop, but you wouldn't do that if you were blind, for you wouldn't have seen the crumb. And if it was a big drop of gravy, you wouldn't have seen it either. And if he sits down and somebody walking by splashes him with mud, he's none the wiser. He's none the wiser. And he was sitting there in dirt. And when you read in verse 50, when he's called into the presence of the Lord, and he casting away his garment. I believe, you know, that the man, as soon as he is invited into the presence of the Lord, there was an awareness of how unfitted I am for his presence. I know I'm stained. Because there would have been plenty to say to him. Oh, look at the cut of you, Bartimaeus. Do you never wash yourself? Well, it'd be hard for a blind man. Oh, he might rub his face. There was so much of his clothing that would have been stained, and he wouldn't have been aware of that. But as he came into the presence of the Lord, he knew. And that's why I believe he cast off his outer garment. Maybe an old garment that he kept specifically for that purpose. What we would call a bib. Only his bib covered all of him. To try as much as he could to keep himself clean. This garment would catch all the splashes, etc., etc. And when he was called into the presence of the Lord, oh, he wanted rid of that old soiled garment, and he cast it. That's an important word. It doesn't say he took it off, folded it up, and put it on the hanger. He threw it away. He cast it off. That's a word that implies something that you want to get rid of. He cast it away. You know, that's the first evidence of grace at work in our lives, you young ones. There's a desire to get rid of that old garment that we have worn since the days of our blindness, and that's spotted and marked and stained and soiled. James chapter 1 And I want to just end at this verse, and perhaps I might be asked back to finish it sometime. But I'm going to just end it at this verse, James chapter 1, the verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God. You young folk, if you ever want a definition of what religion all about, what is religion all about? I mean, the average person, religion, it's all about going to church. No. Look at what it says. James chapter 1, the verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To put it another way, we are to love the Lord and be ever conscious of him and keep ourselves therefore in a proper condition to walk with him, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is what true religion is, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. God help us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. If you're walking down the road, and it has been raining, and there are puddles everywhere, and here comes a car, and you know what's going to happen. And if you want to avoid the splashing, then you have got to withdraw to a place where you won't get splashed. And that's what the Christian is ever engaged in. Withdrawing from the danger of being stained and soiled and corrupted and tainted by the world and its activities. Keeping our eyes from looking at that which will corrupt us. Keeping our ears from hearing that which will corrupt us. Avoiding the company of those who would corrupt us. Keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. That was the beginning of God's grace in this man's life. He threw away that old stained garment. God help us to put off the old ways, and to put on the new ways. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Clive, would you like to come and close the gathering? Thank you.